This is Thunder at the Fair. We are living the dream at the Wisconsin State Fair. It is absolutely beautiful out here. A gentleman just walked by in a Detroit Lions shirt and an LA Dodgers hat. While I appreciate the theme of the blue, I don't know if you want to pick fights with like the baseball and the football fans here at the Wisconsin State Fair, but we appreciate you being here and spending your money. Oh, if he gets lost, people can find the LA hat. I love that. Joining us now on Thunder at the Fair, presented by Pato Army Sportsbook, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, free on the Odyssey app and on the iHeart app and wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all the things, is our best friend, Camille Davis, a.k.a. Camille Monet. Camille, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful Friday to be outside, too. The air quality is a bit better than what we've been experiencing the last few days, so it's a perfect day to be at the fair talking some sports.
I feel like the weather may have just turned a little cloudy. Like, it's still beautiful out. The temperature's fine.
Yeah.
I think people are okay out here with, like, suns out, guns out, wearing no sleeves.
No sleeves.
And if some people are wearing a sweatshirt, like, I think you could see that, too, today. Because you got a little wind, and the clouds did just roll in. But it is, like, perfect walking around, people watching weather. One of my favorite things to do at the fair, and I just did it, literally with this dude, is, like, to see what sports gear people are wearing. Because years ago, like, 15, 20 years ago, when I started my career, I'd be at Summerfest or I'd be at State Fair, and it was all Packers gear.
Yeah,
it was all Packers gear. It was a little Brewers, and it was no box. That's what it was. And now you see Giannis jerseys everywhere.
All the time.
You're still seeing, because we're in the middle of it, you're still seeing a lot of Brewers gear and, of course, a lot of Packers gear because the Packers always rule.
Always.
But you see way more Bucks gear than you, which is great. Like, you know, and we'll get to the Bucks gear. I know you had a post and we saw the Cream City. We got to get to that. We'll get to that. But we're going to start with Green Bay Packers. And I know you do podcasting, of course, Locked On Bucks and all that stuff. But you do Packers podcasting as well, right?
Yep.
Where do people hear your Packers podcast?
Right now at the Pack a Day podcast, I was working with Cheesehead TV two seasons ago. So I'm around in the Packers podcast sphere for sure.
Nice. Well, let's start with Matthew Golden, because we, last year, before the season started, we were told we had three number ones.
Yeah.
Dobbs, Reed, and Wicks.
Yeah.
And that, like, we were good. The wide receiver room was good.
Mm-hmm.
We were happy. We were excited about that. And I would argue all three of them underperformed last year based on where they were 2 years ago and the talent level that we believe they have and where they can get to. Is that still, are they still kind of like 1B/2 wide receivers? And how much has that wide receiver room changed with the I wouldn't say emergence yet, because we've had a week of training camp, just with the presence of a first-round draft pick, Matthew Golden?
It changes the stakes in the locker room, because you look at, first of all, it's a numbers count where you're looking around like, okay, we already had a really big wide receiver room.
Yep.
And this past draft, we add two more to the room. You add in free agency as well. So it's like you're looking around the room and you're like, man, it's a lot of different receivers in here.
Yes.
To the point where we saw Bo Melton turn to a cornerback
at that. Yep.
Like,
because he wants to make the team.
He wants to. And it sounds like the Packers also want him to make the team because of how good he is on special teams.
Yep.
So there is pressure in that room, and early reports are saying that Matthew Golden is looking every part of a first-round draft pick, so that adds additional pressure. And it's a Packers wide receiver group that still has the talent. I think the biggest disappointment last year was just like the amount of drops and self-inflicted bad things that were happening on
That's
the team.
Right.
So like everyone's on notice of how they have to improve.
Yeah. Camille Davis joining us here, Thunder at the Fair on The Fan. And I completely agree about that last year. It was certainly self-inflicted. But listen, you got to clean that up. You got to figure that out. Like, Dontavian Wicks, I know, and people can say this till they're blue in the face. Oh, well, he reminds me of a young Davante Adams. So I will tell you this. Davante Adams' second season in the NFL, I was hosting the Mitch Nellis show on a different radio station, and I said, they got to release him.
Got to cut him.
I said, you just got to cut this guy. He can't play NFL football. I said that about Davante Adams.
Davante.
But you know what? His second year, he didn't look like he could play NFL. Yeah. He had too many big drops in key situations, you know, third and shorts or deep throws where he was open, and he was just dropping everything in sight that was kind of like Wicks. Now, we have no idea if Wicks will develop.
Right.
Obviously, we'd love that. But what we're hearing about Golden and just making big play after big play, but not just that, but making the short play and the speed of his feet after a catch you got to catch the ball first.
Yes.
You can't run. You can't go. You know, without the if you leave the ball on the ground behind you, but just like that dynamic that he can bring to this offense, I think everybody's excited about.
And it's needed too, especially with Christian Watson being out. You could be without Watson, you don't even have that vertical deep threat in the offense. And Golden has the speed, not the same size as Watson, but the foot right. speed is real
yes.
for him. And to be able to have a receiver out there that can put the burners on is really, really important, because it stresses the defense in so many different ways when you have to account for someone's speed. And if the hands are sure as well, like, you are dealing with somebody who can make a big impact in his rookie year.
So you mentioned Christian Watson. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday. So Christian Watson, his fastest he's ever run is 23 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's like, and that's, I assume that's pretty good. I don't know. I've never been timed how fast I can read. But I
mean,
I can get up to 7 or 8.
See, I'm not even going to over-exaggerate myself. I can give you a good 5 miles per hour
fair,
at best.
Fair. So his top speed in his career is 23. He was running 22 yesterday.
Wow.
He was on the sideline, and he's still like, he's far away from contact.
Yeah.
But he's letting it loose a little bit. And, you know, when he first got hurt, we thought, all right, he's out till November at the earliest, maybe even for the whole year. Then as the offseason goes on, all right, he's ahead of schedule, maybe sometime in October, late October. Mm-hmm. Dude is running sprints on the sidelines right now. Like, and listen, some guys are just freaks of nature
yeah.
and come back from injury that way. What would it mean to this room? You know, because we've been talking about Reed Wicks and Dobbs.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about Golden. And Savion Williams hasn't been able to do much. Mm-hmm. He's had some injuries, and now with a concussion protocol, I
right.
think. We know what Tucker Kraft can bring. We think Luke Musgrave's going to help that tight end room as well. What if Christian Watson is ready sooner than we think, and that dynamic is added to this offense?
It's a beautiful thing when you think about Watson being healthy earlier than expected and what that can do, especially if you have some configurations out there where you have Watson and Golden, and they both have the speed that can really stress the offense or the defense. Because when Watson went out last year, you saw like the whole pass game just seemed like it fell apart a little bit without the threat of him being able to stretch the field.
It did.
And
it really did.
The hard part, though, is for Jordan Love and for Matt LaFleur, it's keeping all these different receivers happy along the way.
Right.
And I know Matt LaFleur was saying, like, well, here's what's going to help winning. Winning should help. And last offseason, you heard a lot of the wide receivers in the room talking about, it's about the team, I'm not worried about my own individual stats. But then a few weeks into the season, you have Romeo Dobbs getting suspended because he was reportedly unhappy with his role in the offense at that point. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have until it becomes a problem to have.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, that's obviously Gutekunst's job, and he'll, you know, it's LaFleur's job on the field. It's Gutekunst's job with how he deals with the roster. And, you know, we've talked about during the offseason, does Romeo Dobbs end up a Steeler? You know, because he and Aaron, you know, he's one of the guys that Aaron actually liked.
Yeah.
Because Aaron didn't like the young guys.
Not many
liked,
of them.
But he liked Romeo. So who knows how that goes. One of the other big storylines out of training camp has been the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And last year, Jordan Morgan, a first-round pick, looked like he was going to be in a straight rotation, then was hurt out for the rest of the year. They start training camp, and first practice, first offense, he's not in the top five.
Yeah,
and he's worked his way in, and they've been playing. And I know that when Adam Stenovich talked on Wednesday, he said, you know, we feel like we have 6, 7, maybe even 8 starters. But offensive line, you need to have consistency. And you really like, yes, if you have one guy who's shuffling in, that can work sometimes. But you really like having 5 guys, because then you learn each other's spacing. You learn each other, what they're doing. What are we going to make of Jordan Morgan? Like, is he going to play? Is he going to play a lot? Are they going to trade somebody? What are we doing here?
Well, I mean, the one good thing about the Packers and how they always look to construct their team is the emphasis they do have on making sure the offensive line is solid.
Yes.
Like, even going into last year, I made a joke to one of my co-hosts on a Technical Foul podcast who's a Bears fan. Mm-hmm. And I said, y'all would love to have our 6th, 7th, 8th offensive linemen to start for y'all in this upcoming season. But it's a good problem to have. And the Packers really do like to encourage competition, especially
yes.
on their offensive line. They value the guys guys that can play multiple positions. They value putting the best five out there, regardless of if that's your natural position.
Right.
They want the best five out there.
Yep.
And unfortunately, injuries are a feature and not a bug of football. Like, they're going to come. You hope they don't affect you in a big way. But having that depth, if Jordan Morgan makes it to the starting lineup or if he doesn't, at least you have that depth in your offensive line. If something does happen, you know you can trust whoever it is that's going to come in next. Like, I wouldn't trade any offensive lineman. I'd be more inclined to try to trade an extra wide receiver at this point. But, like, having that depth is going to be really, really good for them because, unfortunately, injuries are part of the football.
I think you're spot on. You know somebody's going to get hurt. And we hope we're hurt. We hope. If injuries are inevitable, you're hurt for a series, or maybe you're up for a game. We don't want anybody out for the year. We don't want any major injuries or anything like that.
Right.
But it happens.
It does.
We've seen it. And even in the Philly game last year in the playoffs, we saw that next man up wasn't ready.
No.
Right? That offensive line deteriorated quickly when there was an injury there. And I think the hope is not just with Jordan Morgan, but with Anthony Belton. Like, they have the depth now. But you got to figure out a way to keep those guys happy. Mm-hmm. You got to figure, again, kind of like managing the egos with the wide receivers, you might have to do that with the offensive line as well. Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks podcast, Pack a Day podcast, joining us here live at the fair. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you're wrong, because you should be. We are at the Fan at Milwaukee. You do need the at sign. So if you're watching me, you see I'm like drawing the at sign on the screen right now, like very poorly. But at the Fan Milwaukee with the at sign, follow us there. Are you into power rankings?
I do enjoy.
So I hate power rankings. I think they're the worst thing on earth because, like, prove it on the field. Like
that's fair.
Like Major League Baseball power rankings. I don't care if the Brewers are number one. I care if the Brewers make the World Series and win the World Series. I don't like same thing with the Bucks over the past 10 years. Same thing with the Packers. But the problem I have with them is, like, right now we're seeing Packers anywhere from 5th overall in the league to like 15th. Overall in the league. And it's like, how can opinions be so different about a team when, like, they have a third year start? You know, Jordan's played for a couple of years, and I get that opinions on him can be a little different. Some people think the wide receivers room's really good. Some people think it's a joke because they don't have a number one, a true number one. What do you say, or what do you think when you see, not just fifth in the NFC, fifth in the NFL, and then somebody else has them 15th, and then they're everywhere in between?
That, to me, just exemplifies and highlights how much parity is in the NFL, where you can look at different things, and if you're more optimistic about what you expect from Green Bay, you can have them as high as fifth. And I don't think people seeing the Packers ranked at fifth would be like, man, that's too high. Like, I mean, someone probably would if they had them at 15, but there's an argument to have them that high. There could be an argument to have them as low as 15 if you don't believe in that wide receiver room. If you have questions about the cornerbacks in the secondary with Jair Alexander leaving, it's like, well, how do they fill in those gaps? Yeah. How much do you believe in Hobbs? Like, there are questions of, like, hey, the pass rush was inconsistent last year. I don't believe it's gotten any better because they didn't change personnel. They just changed the coach. Like, there are reasons I could see someone point to it and be like, hey, I have them lower. But, again, there's also the reason for optimism of, like, hey, they did all this last year, and Jordan Love was not healthy most of the year.
It's true.
They had a lot of things were on their side, too, that didn't go in their favor. So, like, it can go either way. But, ultimately, I think it just highlights how much parity there is in the league for you to kind of look at a team and really see what you want to see and be able to have an argument for it either way.
Yeah. My only issue is, like, when people write those articles and, like, already have – in their mind where they want to slot a team without really looking at the team.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's August 1st. We got a lot of time for this to play out.
Right.
She's Camille Davis. I'm Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. You can listen to her at Pack a Day podcast, at Locked On Bucks. When we come back, we're going to get Camille's thoughts specifically on Jordan Love and what he's going to do this season, his third year as a starter. We're also going to talk a little bit of Bucks basketball and a little bit about the Bucks uniform drop that happened earlier today as well. My name is Mitch Nellis. This is 1250 AM. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan. We are at the fair, brought to you by our friends at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, live on The Fan. I just want to do Cotton Eye Joe every time I hear this intro music. This is Thunder at the Fair. We're at Wisconsin State Fair. It is beautiful. Just saw a guy walk by with a green and gold shirt that had a picture of a beer. And a colon and the number 30 after it, because what time is it? It is beer 30, baby. Let's go. You're at the Wisconsin State Fair. It is beer 30. Absolutely. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. Thunder at the Fair. Joined right now, if you've been listening, by Camille Davis at Camille Monet on the Twitterverse, part of Pack-A-Day podcast, part of Locked On Bucks. We're talking some Packers football. We're going to talk a little Bucks as well. Thanks for sticking around for a second segment. Appreciate that. And Jordan Love is a huge focus of discussion for football fans, I think, locally, but also nationally a little bit. He's in that list of guys at, you know, 55 million a year, and so he's gotten paid. I think we can all agree he's better than Trevor Lawrence, who got one of those contracts. But this is your number three as a starter, and everybody keeps saying, I've said it. And mm-hmm. it's such a cliche. Like, I don't even know if I believe it. I just say it because other people say it. Well, in your third year as a starter, that's when you really figure things out. And you either jump up a level or you are who you are. And, like, man, is that gobbledygook? Like, who knows what actually is going to happen with Jordan Love this year? But what? How do you feel, Camille Davis, about the progression of Jordan Love? It should be nice if he didn't hurt his knee opening week. Yeah. And what do you expect to see from Jordan Love this season?
I expect to see a quote-unquote bounce-back year in the mm-hmm. sense of, like, when you're looking at the raw numbers of what he did last year compared to his first year starting. I think that when you go back to last season, not only did he have the knee injury in week one,
yep.
but he had the hold-in situation during training camp as well. And I know we like to talk about training camps not that important, the reps, so on and so forth, but, like, getting those snaps in with your guys, the timing of it, like, it's all very, very important. I love that this year in training camp, he was there early. He was there with some of the rookies as well. He was there all throughout the offseason. And now as we're hearing in training camp, this is the time where you can kind of test your limits. You can do a little bit more risky things in practice because it's practice. You're just trying to see where you can get to. So, like, it sounds like, and it's early, there's preseason still to play until we get to the regular season, but early reports indicate that things are on track for Jordan Love, and I'm expecting a bounce-back year for him this year.
Nice. I love that. We mentioned that we are on YouTube, and it's at The Fan Milwaukee. Our friend Q writes in. First, he writes a couple funny things that I'm not going to read on the air, but if you are on our Facebook page, you can go right ahead and check it out. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying it's funny. But then he writes in, oh, Camille is the best. Let's go Locked On Buck through. So nice shout out there from our friend
Appreciate
Q for our bestie, Camille Davis. I feel like that's one of your every time you come on, I give you a new nickname or a new, like, moniker. Bestie Camille Davis might be one of my favorites. And so we've talked about the offense. We talked about Love and Golden and the wide receivers. I don't have a specific defense question, but is there anything on the defense that you've got your eye on? And, you know, and I guess the easy one is LVN.
Of course.
To see what he's doing. But is there, you know, and you can say him. That could be your answer. But is there anything on the defense that you're specifically watching early in training camp as the Packers look forward to their first game August 9th?
Yeah, there's a lot of different guys I like to keep an eye on here. Of course, you want to continue to see the growth in Cooper's game and see where he becomes and all that stuff. See how Quay bounces back from his injury. I've heard Hopper's been looking good out there as well. But two guys in particular, Brenton Cox on the defensive line as well, who really popped last year. Like,
last
year, everybody thought it was going to be LVN who got the opportunity once the Smith trade was executed. But here comes Cox sitting here and making a splash. I really do think that he's in line for a big year if he's in that pass rushing rotation consistently. But the other guy I'm curious about is Carrington Valentine.
Ooh, okay.
Because, like, there's been a lot of conversation around the cornerback room for the Packers. Rightfully so.
Discussion and lack of depth.
Yeah, and I think Carrington Valentine is somebody who might be a bit better than what everyone else recognizes at the moment. He is somebody who flashed to me at times last year, and now he's going to be expected to walk into a bigger role, so I'm looking forward to seeing how he rises to the opportunity or if he doesn't rise to the opportunity, but I have some confidence in this game.
Nice. Jordan Love jersey alert. We got a Jordan Love
of course,
jersey coming across over here. Bucks gear right over here, so we're in the Bucks shirt. So let's transition. Let's talk a little Milwaukee Bucks basketball. So let's start. We can start with the uniform. I was going to go a different direction, and I still will go there. But let's start with the Cream City.
Yes.
So here's the first thing I thought when I saw it is I thought somebody from the Bucks had told me a couple years ago that the reason they never brought them back is there was something that it didn't show right on TV,
that
and
is
the
correct.
NBA had asked them. not to do, like, I don't know if they had banned them or just asked them not to do the Cream City. So you said that's correct.
Yes.
What do you know what changed or how that all got worked out?
So when the NBA started going towards the digital ads on the court, they found that the cream jerseys affected the ad being able to be clearly seen on the court.
Okay.
So
okay.
once the NBA decided they were going that
route. Which kind of makes sense because the cream and the wood match a little too close.
Other. Yep. So it would kind of distort those digital ads. So the NBA said no more of these cream jerseys.
Yep.
But last year you saw the Detroit Pistons have an alternate that was in cream. And I was like,
what's going on here?
What's happening? And then you learn that the NBA has figured out a way around the digital ads.
Right, because so technology.
Exactly. It always improves. So they found a way to bring the Cream City jerseys back, and now we're here.
Yes. Well, all right. So what do you think? What's your review? I got a picture of it that I'm showing you right now. But there it is. Click on the link.
I love them.
And we'll. I don't know, Charlie, if we've tweeted these out or not. But you can go online. Follow if you're following the Bucks on any of your social medias. It's all there. You can click on the photo. You know all the photos of the new Cream City jerseys, which are so you love them.
They're actually the same jerseys the Bucks had during the 1920 season because we got two different.
2020.
The 1920 season.
Oh, the 19 yeah, 19/20 season.
Not back in 19.
I was like,
no, we weren't.
There, yeah.
No, we weren't.
I mean, I was a teenager then, so it's cool, but
they're the same ones. I actually bought the version of the Cream City jerseys that was before this that monitored the or looked like the black jerseys with the stripes. Across.
Yes.
So I'm really happy to see the script version of the Cream City jerseys come back, along with the court that they're going to be rolling out.
I think the court looks awesome.
The court is fantastic. The little details they have with the lines within the paint resembling the city lines in Milwaukee, the cream. I love the court. I love the jerseys. I'm happy we have the Cream City uniforms back.
So I'm not 1,000% sure I love the jersey. Just because, like, to me, is cream a color? Like, I know we have Cream City Brick, and that makes sense. I actually am wondering, what if you took this jersey, what if you made it bricks? Like, what if
all
you made
the
fake
the
bricks,
design.
Like building up the bricks of the of like a building on the jersey?
And that would be clean.
That's what I think.
That would be clean.
To me, this is almost like, I'm gonna spill some spaghetti sauce on this one. Like, and it's like, I mean, we've talked about my daughter before. She's an NBA knucklehead, and her favorite player is Tatum. Because I'm born and raised in Boston, I live here, so like we are diehard Celtics and Bucks fans, which I know is hard for people to wrap their head around. That's okay.
It's like, how did you survive the 70s and the 80s being like?
The 80s was tough. The 80s was tough, and it was like. But, you know, growing up in Boston, 80s, I was more like as a kid, as a Celtics fan. It wasn't until like 1990 that I moved here that it really became a problem. But my daughter always had a green Tatum jersey.
Okay.
And, you know, she got it 5 years ago. It was way too big. She finally outgrew it. So she's like, Dad, I want a Tatum jersey. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, you got aunts and uncles, and they love giving you presents. And you go talk to who you need to talk to. So she talks to her uncle. They decide which one comes in the mail. It's the white Tatum jersey. I'm like, never in a million years, whether it's a Bucks jersey or whoever, I'm not wearing a white jersey.
You're just too afraid of, like, the spillage?
Well, I'm afraid of the spillage or stain, but it's also, like, I don't know. I just always think, like, having green or, like, even the Bucks with the blue, even the yellow. Like, I thought
when
the yellow was
Mecca,
sharp.
Yeah,
that Mecca one, you know. Eric Bledsoe didn't do a whole lot of great things in Milwaukee, but he wore that jersey well. He wore that jersey really well.
I think Bledsoe's a bit better than memory tends to give him credit for. It's just that the playoff Bledsoe, that's where it really started to turn for him.
You know what the issue with Bledsoe was? Is that in the NBA, and traditionally I would say this about every team, is that they play at a certain level, and then when they get to the playoffs, they got to levelly move up.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons the Heat, I think, struggled when Pat Riley was the coach there, is because they played so hard all the time, they didn't have a next level to get up to until they got Shaq. And then when they put Shaq and D-Wade together, they were able to do that. Eric Bledsoe played so hard every night that he didn't have a playoff level to get to. Like, he just didn't have that, as opposed to Drew Holiday, who also played so hard every night, but he did have a level to go up if we're comparing them.
And the defense was more consistent for Holiday in the playoffs, too, which I think is the big – like, the offense for both of them, we got shaky come playoff time, but the defense for Drew Holiday remained consistent.
Yeah, so I don't mind the cream jerseys, but I don't
you don't love them.
I don't love them. But I do love the court. Like, I think the court looks super clean. The court looks super. It's tight. It shows Milwaukee, but I think it's going to show really well on TV as well, which I think is like one of the things we worry about sometimes with all these weird courts. Like, is it going to look ridiculous? And we've seen like the Pacers, like their metallic gray when the team is wearing gray, and the Pistons do that too. Like, you can't even see what's going on in the basketball game because it's all mishmash.
And here's why I also love the Cream City court so much, because I'm not somebody who hated the blue jerseys. I think we just had too many blue jerseys in a row.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
They couldn't go back to the cream.
Well, and I saw one yesterday. A kid was wearing a Giannis, and it was just with, like, the wave on it.
The championship year one.
Yeah. And then we had one, whatever it was, last year, where it was, like, basically the exact same.
More blue.
It's like, I agree. I like a blue jersey. I actually think, and I hope the Bucks do this, I want them to wear a blue on the Cream City court. Because I want colors because then I think the court's going to pop more.
I think
if the team's wearing cream, they are even though you can see the ads, it might run into each other a little bit.
I wonder if they wear the white jerseys more on that cream court
or if they
go with the green. But that's the thing I like about the court, though, is that the blue was cool, but sometimes it was jarring turning a game on and it's a blue court and it's the Bucks, and if they were playing like the Celtics or something, and you're like, okay, they ain't green, but they ain't blue, but which one?
I'm used to cheering for green.
Yeah, the instant like brand reaction of when you turn the game on, like that Cream City court, there's going to be no question about what team that is, because the green is still present.
Camille Davis joining us here on Thunder at the Fair, special edition of programming here on The Fan. You normally listen to me 9 to 11 on the Mason Crosby Show with Mason and Tommy, but they said, hey, Mitch, you want to do Stay Fair? And I'm like, say less. food, smells, people, out with the masses, let's go. My extroversion is showing, I think, a little bit. All right, so I got to ask you about the numbers in the rafters.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Because
we
know there are lots of numbers in the rafters, and I think there's a lot of Bucks. We're not going to talk about Ray Allen, but I'm going to use that as the foundation for the discussion. There's a lot of Bucks fans who think Ray Allen should be up in the rafters.
There are.
Well, obviously, Ray's number 34, and we all love Giannis, but I still, like, to this day, if I see a purple 34 jersey and it says Antetokounmpo on the back, I tell them they spelled Allen wrong. Like, I'll go up to people like, oh, they spelled Allen wrong. Because the purple jersey is Ray Allen's jersey.
Yeah.
End of discussion. Anyway, you know, and I know there's different rules, like, you know, if you won a championship, you know, from the championship team in 72, 73, and that's great, and what they did. And guys who made the playoffs in the 80s and the 90s and didn't necessarily even make the finals, but had a long-lasting history here. And so, of course, I want to go to, is it Gary Harris?
It is Gary Harris.
Gary Harris is wearing number 11.
Too soon.
That I think I'm fully on board. I completely agree. Too soon. And not that you can't give it to anybody before it's retired, potentially. Do you think the number 11 should be retired someday by the Milwaukee Bucks for Brook Lopez?
Yes, I do. And I don't know if I'm in I'm probably not in the majority feeling that way.
No, but if you're not in the majority, I bet it's 60-40. I bet there's a good, it might not be over 50%, but I bet it's pretty close.
Like, he was a key part of what the Bucks were able to accomplish. He was the defensive anchor for this team. He was there for 7 years on this team.
Yep.
When you look at the record books, I believe he's second in blocks all time. He's top four, top five in a few different categories. Like, he has put his stamp on this franchise. And this is a Milwaukee Bucks team that has only two championships in its history, 50 years apart, and we saw how they honored some of the players from that first championship team of putting their numbers in the rafters, because they helped bring something to Milwaukee.
I mean,
it was a new team at that time, too, so it was a bit different. But to now go 50 years without a championship, I think that, of course, 34 is up there. Of course, 22 is up there.
Yes.
But I think 11 deserves to be there.
Yeah.
And honestly, if we retired Oscar Robinson's number as well for the few years that he was here in Milwaukee for him being part of that championship team, I also think Drew Holiday's number should be retired too.
I think Drew's in the conversation. I think Brooks' numbers will be retired at some point. It's not going to be you know, soon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still an active player.
Yeah.
But I you know, and you know, I think we agree. Giannis and Middleton are no-brainers. Like those ones are done. Like
and statues.
Well, definitely Giannis. Giannis
for sure,
gets
for
a
Giannis.
Statue.
They should make the Chris Middleton one. I've been seeing it into a water fountain because you know he sweats so much. So I just
he's
have a fountain
like
outside
dripping,
of the
dripping sweat.
Moist Jordan yeah. for Chris Middleton. Yeah.
Is this the Bucks roster? Is this the Bucks team? Is this is going into training camp and starting the season? Are they done? Is it set? And then, you know, what do they have one spot left for Thanasis?
Right now they're at 15, okay. But they did push that guaranteed date for Andre Jackson's contract back.
Right.
So they still could, if they wanted to create a roster spot, they could waive Andre Jackson Jr. to accommodate that. But I think for now, this is the team that is going to be. And if there is a move, it's probably going to be more on the – I think Kuz is going to be on the roster starting or opening night.
Okay.
But I think if any other roster moves do happen, it's going to be minor, like the Andre Jackson Jr. for – whoever that might be, whether it's Thanasis or somebody else. That's the only other move that I would predict to happen before training camp.
Can Andre Jackson Jr. be something? Like he's started for this team and then was in the doghouse and didn't even play. Like, is there something there, or is he just who he is?
There's flashes there for him for sure. Like, he's still a young player. He's entering into his third year here, so you know, there's a sliver of optimism of what he can be. The thing for Andre Jackson Jr. is just the decision-making, making sure he's more aggressive when he does have chances to finish around the rim, because surprisingly, when he's open from three, he's going to shoot.
Yeah.
So, like, that hasn't been the problem. The problem more so has been decision-making, making sure he's making quick moves,
right.
Passing when he's to pass, finishing when he's to finish, and just cutting down on the turnovers and the fouls. So,
Finishing's been weird.
Yeah, it has.
He's
so athletic.
Weird, I know. It's like... It's like he's playing like he's 6'4", and he's 6'8", 6'9".
He's so athletic. So, like, he has good size, too, and that's one thing I think that this Bucks team doesn't have, which is a lot of size on the wing. So, like, he's an important piece to have right now going into the season, I think.
Q writes in on, remember, we're on YouTube, at The Fan Milwaukee. He wants to know, who do you think has the biggest chance to swing the fate of the team's 25-26 season?
I'm assuming that's not including Giannis, because, of course, that's the
right.
Number one.
Well, and
answer.
I think Giannis is a given. Like, if Giannis is going to be Giannis, who has like the opportunity that if they really step up their game, if they perform to their full potential, will make the team better?
I think it's Kevin Porter Jr., honest with you. Mm-hmm. Gary Trent Jr. is someone I've been highlighting a lot this offseason.
Yep.
A.J. Green's another one, because I just believe in the potential of A.J. Green and what he could do.
Yeah.
But I think Kevin Porter Jr. has a ceiling where it's like, if he can hit these levels that we think that he can consistently,
yep.
with him being, assuming, the starting point guard for the Milwaukee Bucks, like, he's going to have an opportunity to really show out. If the defense can be there, if the decision-making can be there, if he can be the secondary playmaker when Giannis is off the court or when Giannis is on the court but getting sweated, like, it just opens up so many doors for other players. So, like, I think Kevin Porter Jr. is that guy who has the biggest chance to really swing what the Bucks can do this upcoming season.
I love that. Camille Davis, follow her on Twitter, at Camille Monet. Listen to her Locked On Bucks podcast. She's part of Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Camille, enjoy the fair. Thank you so much for jumping on today.
Appreciate you for having me.
You bet. She is Camille Davis. She is not a stranger to programming here on The Fan, whether it's the Mason Crosby Show, jumping on Pack-A-Day Radio with Andy Herman as well. And as we get closer to Bucks season, she'll be on more and more, and we will listen to her for her expert takes. And, of course, we wrote down everything she said, and so we're going to be coming back and checking the receipts over the next few months. No, I'm just kidding. It's all love. Camille, thanks so much for jumping on.
For sure.
My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. We are at the Wisconsin State Fair. Bart Lundy is going to join us later this hour. Ryan Horvat in the 1 o'clock hour as well. We got to figure out what we're going to eat next. That's what I was going to ask. What are you excited to eat?
Well, I was a big fan of the fish bombs a few years ago, which
okay.
were like cod mixed in with fries and coleslaw in one fry ball.
Oh, hello, yes.
But they don't have that anymore, so like I need to figure that out. I'm going to wander and try to figure out what strikes my fancy
so
today.
So similarly, I always loved the Thanksgiving dinner bombs.
Yes.
Where they took turkey and gravy and stuffing and mashed potatoes and deep
fried
that in a ball.
Yes.
And they also they have that What's the there's a cafe on the east side. I don't know. I'll think of it. A Comet Cafe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they
okay,
have that
okay.
at Comet, but they don't have that here at the State Fair. All right. She's Camille Davis. When we get back, we've got more Packers talk to get to. And then, of course, all sorts of guests, all sorts of fun here at the fair. You're listening to Thunder at the Fair on The Fan.